The following contains adult language, content, and description of actions that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
All going, boss?
There, all going.
Bless up, man. Bless up, bless up.
Yeah, man. Bless up, brother.
Still doing big things.
Yeah.
Dropping percussion album. Is this a percussion album?
No, it's not a percussion album. It's a project where I take on a broader thing. More performance, right? Songwriting.
So where I get tonight. So welcome to World Music Views, boss. It's a pleasure to have you. We go back far. You were a part of my first ever show that I ever did. You were the lead band member, and I really appreciate you for that. You know, I really appreciate you coming through from them time there, and I respect the growth we are going with. It's very inspirational and good for the business and good for where you come from and the schooling you got and all of that to have somebody like you representing on an international level. So big up, boss. Big up for all of that, all right?
Yes, thanks, brother.
So tell me, first of all, where you from? Like, how you got into music?
Well, I grew up in St. Catherine, Portmore, between Portmore and Spanish Town. Church, you know, choir. My dad do a whole heap of choir, singing in a church, leading choir and them thing there. And then I did fall in love with the drums when we reached grade 6, but I never started doing it until I reached 7th grade in a high school, where I did have my first drum teacher, which was Jardas Jones, who take pictures now. Yeah, him did teach me and thing, and did choir. Yeah, Dash.
That's all in my work, man.
Yeah, man. And so in a high school, we did the festival competitions as well. And I was honing the craft as a more of a vocalist, drummer. And I was doing a little bit of drama too, you know, between that. So by fourth form now, I started to look at music as a subject to be taken, but enough person wasn't there to do it. And then by the 11th grade, my teacher said, yo, go to Edna. And then after I graduated from Calabar in 2007, I take a year off to get another subject because I never have enough. And I get the subject and enroll in Edna 2008. So I take off, after June 2007, I take the whole time there, go right back and then go into Edna September 2008, where now the real part of it start, the theory and getting more into all music, where the elements of music and things like that. Yeah, by them time, them meet man like Feluke, you see me? And you see me meet Feluke, and that transformed my life again, because I never see a musician like him. And I was studying drums at the time at Edna. So my vocals was a second thing. And then I meet him, join him band, start, go to Grafton Studio, start to see Taurus Riley, likes of Sharon Anderson, people like those, and eventually start rub shoulders and work with them. Uncle Dean Fraser and them thing there. And then eventually now, after Edna, we meet a man named Chronix, you know, 2013, you see me? And,
When I get to that Chronix meetup, Ed, we'll soon get to that Chronix meetup. I want to know first, like, what, after Dash teacher for play a drum and all that, like, what make you think now that you could do this as a professional?
Well, we did so steep and down into the music. It clicked to us, the reason why you're so attracted to this is because your mother did do it. And even though my other siblings, which I have from my mother, is 3 of us. And my brother and my sister are bad singer them. And so it's like, me never really see myself as anyone say single out, special. But then my sister one time asked me, what do you want to do after you're done high school? I said, I want to study entertainment law. And she laughed. You see me? And she said, you don't want to do no law. All you watch all day is music. And all you talk about is this musician you rate and that musician. You must do music. And that is what pushed me. You see me? That is what pushed me for say Edna and the whole thing and see how this thing go, you know? I mean, not the artist part, songwriting part, more of just do music. You see what I'm saying? Like, my calling. Yeah.
So while you're at Edna, I know you must have worked with a lot of people. Who are some of the people? You mentioned Taurus Riley. Who are some of the people that you worked with prior to meeting Chronics? We'll soon get into your Chronics segment
well,
of your career.
Well, may I tell the truth in terms of who I've worked with now from the beginning stages. So who I've worked with when we just started Edna, we were blessed to start work with like man like Montana, Mackian. You see what I said? And then we did start work with man like Siobhan. And then little after that, now we come through. In the same time, we meet Feluke and we start come through and we start work with people like Etana. And then we start do, go to shows as percussion tech for like Shaggy and Friends. And like work with, what I say now, Half Pint and work with the Uncle Dean Fraser and work with Richie Spice. You know, Holy Pass show, we do the Taurus Riley Christmas show every year. So work with that full length of people, Vegas, them people, you know? Yeah, so Edna, yeah, between the start of Edna and leaving of Edna, we did work with a Holy Pass artist, even if it was one time. But most of them was backing band too. So, you know, yeah. Iceman. Iceman.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. Yeah. Come on. So, you see me?
How important you think studying music from a theoretical perspective is to your career as a professional musician now?
I don't think if I never study, I don't think I would have the depth and the insight that I have into music and what it really takes to make an artist. And what it takes is talent, Bertrand. You know what I mean? And you have to find a way not to just leave it at talent, but to realize that there's some elements that you have to learn will make the thing real and it enable you to actually create as an artist, to look into society, see what is happening, and then you're now able to put that because most times the songs that come out, nine times out of 10 out of our culture, it come to say something that somebody wanted to say or something like that. So we feel like when you know the music theory, it gives you a stronger power for make music and know what you're doing as opposed to just, you know, building a loop or finding a loop and thing, which nothing wrong with that either, but why stop there? You see me? There's depth, so. You know, it has been very important to me. So,
fast forward now. You met Chronics. How did you meet Chronics? How did that meeting go down?
Well, we usually see each other upon the very active Kingston music scene that we used to have with the Plug and Players and Wiki Wackies and all these shows we keep. A week time, and he will always say to me, say, yo, I'm a retainer, I'm a you, but we never talk for long, right? And then in 2012, I did a tour with Sharon Anderson as a drummer, the first ever liquor tour, and we do that. And when I was coming back, somebody called me and said, yo, we want to come play percussion on the show in where's Bourbon Beach? Niggil, yeah, in a Bourbon Beach, and it name we call it World Band. And we have played for a bag of artists. Anyway, when we reached the rehearsal after we come on for the tour, Chronics was in the rehearsal. Jesse Royal was in the rehearsal. Kabaka, Kelisa, Korofire, a whole heap of artists from them revival time. Anyway, we do the show. Me and him talk again. Him and say, brother, I'm great. Because, yo, I'm love how you sing and play the percussion. And if me ever have a band one day, but I want you to come play percussion amongst me. And we just, you know, go on office and say, yeah, man, whatever. Anyway, fast forward, in blow up in December 2012, I got robbed in December 2012, just right about the time when I blew up, lose my phone. When I got back a phone, I actually get a call from somebody who's saying he's been trying to reach out to me, kind of put the band together and stuff like that, and then give me a number to call. I called the number. The person said, I'm going to reach back out to me in a few days.
This is before them a talk about bus what drop. Is that before that?
No, this is like when bus. No, I eat. So this same boy blow. So after we talk, after the niggas show, me not hear from him again, and then we get robbed. So, and this is when him thing I blow. But me not realize too. That's the next thing. Me never know him too. That's the next thing. I never hear music or nothing yet. Never. We just always see him and we know, say, you know, him doing thing. So anyways, that happened. A few days passed after the person from them team said they wanna reach out, and I decided to reach out. When I reach out, them say, yo, it was a budget thing, and the decision was between the engineer or me, and he's the engineer. I said, all right, fine, no problem, I understand. That was probably in January. February, March, April, May come. Kelly said needed a percussionist. We just did a do thing. She said, come up a rehearsal, come up a rehearsal. Me and him see each other again, and that time, you know, we talk more in depth. We must say, yo, Hector, what are going on here? The them time, them just come off and first start a fire tour, which was in April. So this is me, you know. And he said, I'm good. And he must say, brother, yo, you're a bad musician, you know. And him always had tell me that. Anyways, the show, I played a show with Kelly Side the following weekend after we meet him, see him up by a thing called Kingston Live, which usually keep a Manor Park. We play that show. After the show done, usually when we work with artists, them time there's a youngin, I always bless up everybody, and that's just my little thing. When we just think, when we say, I'm gonna bless up a man, cause you never know. Anyway, we done the show, we go for bless him up, and when me I bless him up now, him hold my hand and say, yo, I'm ready for you to come work with me. See me? Call a number, yeah? Rehearsal at X. And right after, him hold my hand and him say, yeah, more, I'm ready for work with you. Here's a number to call. Rehearsal is on Tuesday. Call them and make them feel in. After that, me and Barnes, them I run up and down, and Mama Kiki, I run up and down on the road. I get passport, all kind of thing. And yeah, that's basically how me and him meet up, you know? And
start so you were there from the just after Imbus, and you've been integrally playing a part in creating music with him, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
So during that process, what is that like, creating music with Chronics?
Yo, all right, JR. Really, I have to just take up a little deep breath to align all that information there, because the experience is firstly an experience for me. And every time somebody asks me this question, I'm gonna think about the first time. It always is just amazing. First of all, the first time I worked with him in making music with him was Chronology album. He has a way and a gift to show you how to just attach the little pieces that make the music pure and just come together, whether it's a percussion line or it's a bass line. It's just an experience, man. It's like, yo, he doesn't think too hard. He also trusts the musician around him to an extent to see what is inside of him. But then he also will direct at the same time. I mean, yo, you know what I mean? He really know how music work. He really know how music work. I mean, that album taught me a lot. That was the first album I actually was involved in creating a song, which wasn't a cover song or anything. It was an actual song from somebody's creativity where me had to. And
that's not that the mixtape. This is
no, Chronology. That's the Chronology album. Yeah, that's the Grammy nominated album.
But did you work on the mixtape?
Roots and Chalice mixtape?
Roots and Chalice,
no,
yeah.
No, okay. I didn't work on any of the mixtapes, whether the Starter Fire or Roots and Chalice. So the Chronology was my first in studio making music time with him.
And which songs you worked on that song, on that album?
I worked on Skanking Sweet Percussion. I sang harmonies on I Can, and I sang harmonies on Christina. I played on Black is Beautiful, Congos, and Vibraphone. I also played on Big Bad Sound as well. And I sang on a tune called Tell Me Now. So we're all over the album. You know what I mean?
We can't tell now, because like, you seem very mellow, but I've seen you on stage with Chronics doing a whole heap of flips and drumming and acrobatics and all that. That's quite a personality. And it reminds me of what Usain Bolt called, Usain Bolt do it at the end of his race. I'm injecting personality into his art, into his sport, you know?
Yeah,
he was a drummer. Yeah. Usually just a drummer, player, and do them thing in the background. But you as a drummer, you take it to front street. What's that characteristic that you have that make you so performative?
I'm a classic person, you know, and music, I play music from bass from home when I'm at my yard and I listen to music and how it sound in my head. So when I'm playing back the music, it's that same groove and everything. And then I would have probably say, yo, I'm a movement. I feel like I'm a person that can transition through movement. I don't know how to put it. Like, is there remember movement inside of me where anytime the music go off, me know the right anchor and the right feel underneath it and the energy, you know, the dance you have to go with it, everything just comes, you know, and it's like, you know, it's a movement. I feel like, you know, we can't really explain it, you know what I mean? It's just a groove and just a commitment to just how the music for sound to and, you know, the feeling and, you know, and that energy too. Cause you know, when we are toward Chronics, you know, I'm gonna tell you something, you know, JR, it's a whole heap of new crowds we go in front of, you know, and the energy there was never a forced energy, but I feel like I'm glad to say God met me that way there, because without that energy there, we couldn't break in front of a certain crowd, Lauryn Hill tour and them crowd there, you know? So I feel like it's just a movement. It's just like a thing in a minute. It activates from the music, right?
Talking about tours. Where's the most interesting place you've ever been on tour with Chronics?
Yo, Jano, most interesting. I would have to say Japan and Thailand. But I have to put the two of them. First, the people. In Japan, the people, I find that just how them live is like is a different way of how them communicate and live with each other and interact with each other on many levels, from a business level to even a family level, you know. Japan interesting, man. Japan, the technology, the movement, the forward thinking, how them work out things. You know, all we did in the banner where I say, yo, we would have spent a year at Japan just for inner the meditation. Because over there, calm, like where we did go and stuff like that. Japan, man, and Thailand now. You know, my love like the Buddha temples and them things. They like when you land in Thailand, JR, me see a brother, me see a Buddha statue big like you see like a Megazord or a Power Ranger, brother. I swear it is so big. Yeah, drive on the highway and literally I see the big head with its face. So my friend say, yo, and we never get a chance to really go look on them things. But yo, Thailand and Japan, yo. Definitely, brother.
But you come now with your own album. What album name?
We don't have no name. We don't have no name. I mean, the birth of this creative process and this compilation come through me and JLL meeting up. Again, the same kind of story, can't be lie. You know, we always see each other on different scene. Small healings. Yo, big up, brother, rate you. See him one night now at Dubwise. Sorry, not Dubwise, Dub Club. We decide to go somewhere after and visit a session. Come and say, what you do? And in front, I say, yo, you want to roll with me? I'm sorry, whatever. Anyways, in that time, we did a prayer, a whole heap of different thing of songwriting and working with producers. And we did a work with a whole heap of producers at the time too, where a lot of the songs never come to fruition. So we'd have probably voice it, but it now get mixed. And one point, me kind of discouraged, but then me said, no, because you're young and you're still a learn, and there's something why, you know, find a song or that style where them not, it's something why the song not hit it or why the song not connect to the producer where I give you my inspiration to do it. So me love it. I mean, it all right. But me did feel like JLL was a youth where he have insight. I'm going to tell myself, say, all right, I want to be produced. I just want to be the voice. And so that night, then, fast forward, After we went to the session ended up never keep. So we go to Island Grill, we get some food. Long and short, I just confront him and I said, my brother, I love if you produce me. Him did want it. We stay so by the next day, him send me a whole file with some rhythm, I write. And that's just how that start. And then we never know, say so now, would I really put it out as a project is when Daddy Barnes them hear where we are going within a studio called Chronix. You know, Chronix is a youth way, and we invite different producer, musician, and say, yo, make we like just write or listen to rhythms or whatever. So one of them, me and JLL did there, and Daddy Barnes walking. And hear one of the song them, and I say, yo, Roots, this actually sounds solid. You see me? And so everything from there has kind of been just gathering together as it go by gathering until now, you know. We're about to be the signee, the first signee to the label and stuff like that. So we don't really know the project name right now, but we have this song Ups and Downs where we are push and we are watching the stats and stuff. And you know, so far it get a good vibe. It get the type of vibe I was looking for, which is a conscious dancehall type of vibe. Because I know what I'm saying, and it is not necessarily the most choppy bars, but it's what me I say based on my own struggle with me to go through, yo. You see me? My own up and down. You see me? So
has music helped you to heal in this time and a former time? And I know you've been through stuff as well, and everybody been through stuff, but how has music helped you to heal?
Music is, I think music, where it do, it really and truly helped me to look inside a part of myself that when I was growing up, I never thought I would have problems with that. Parts where you have to sit and be like, no, you did wrong. You see what I mean? So music actually helped me face them there. And the writing helped me to heal. Because ups and downs, trust me, is a thing where when I write the song, then I feel like it was a failure. And me did innate little bit of think about the failure parts and things I have not achieved as it and things like that. And then suddenly it clicked to me, say, well, when a man falls still, and him not give up, him actually
win.
Little after a while, get up and rise. So me, I say, yo, that come to me, I'm going to start writing the song. So yeah, them things, there's a therapy for me, really and truly. And I think it helped me for know who me is on a real level and not just something my mother tell me, say, oh, you're a good boy and whatever. Because it's something you grew up in a them things. Because he's a youth like that. Because we grow for a shelter. Nice. You never, you know what I mean? I think you can get angry. I get real angry and all them things. You know, certain things in there, you know. So it's like, you know, music helped me to deal with that all the time. Enough things I don't know about myself, especially since my mother gone, it been, you know what I mean? Some things I feel like, you know what I mean? I know me, I do, I really don't know. But music kind of helped me to say, oh, you really don't know where you need to go, you know? So yeah, that.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah. So when you drop your album and you go on the road, you're going to need a drummer boss. Okay, you're gonna be up front.
Well, if it was one time, would I probably laugh when I said no. But yeah, that's what it is. And me have a bridging in my life work. We have many bridging. Any one of them ready? Me ready because at the end of the day, JR, we're doing this for our mother because it is something I have to do as an educator of music and just, you know what I mean, just in this time of living physically, I have to find a way for document. And as of lately, I've been learning the bass. So we have diversified the legacy too. And I push it in some other way where my mother would have said, I know you ever come and deal with the music in a different way. She always used to say that. And if it's a different way, different really mean different. We can't say different like we know and then it's like the same thing. So I have to do it now. I'm not 31. So I say, you know the game, good brother. I'm not a boss as a child artist, me a boss as an adult, like very stem probably, you know what I mean? So, or not boss, but when I step out, you get me? So, no at the
first
time.
Very boss, very boss on my 40, but legitimately, you
boss. I am 36. Legitimately, let's hear this legitimacy, because it's so interesting.
Legitimately, if you're touring with a reggae superstar and making music with a reggae superstar, that's an opportunity 99% of the people who are in the industry want, you know? And you get to go to places. So my thing to you is just count your blessings and know that, yo, you've been privileged and to play an important part in the development of music in Jamaica. Before we go, What's your top five? Give me your top five artists, dancehall, and your top five reggae artists.
Thank you. All right, let's start with for dancehall, Capleton, Supercat, Agent Sasko, Vibes Cartel, and to top it off, Jano, dancehall. May I go say, Chabarang's be the man. And then when it comes to reggae now, Bob Marley, Barbara Jones, Dennis Brown, John Holt, and Marcia Griffiths.
I have never heard somebody say Barbara Jones in their top five.
And that is all right, because here one, me deeply come to over the years since my mama's passed to appreciate her sound deeply. Because here one, it's not easy for us singing in a studio. It's not easy to maintain phrasing and sound in a studio. And that's why I'm glad me got school. Because even though when me got student, a man never tell me, of course it's a breathing thing. Of course it's a phrasing thing. Of course it's a dynamics thing. And every tune you're gonna sing out loud and some tune I feel build up and me have to dig up. My mother, because she do it, she had the person who were close to me when actually did it. She have records with brother. Maximum great delivery. She need a trophy. She did there, yes, I know. My praise her every day. She'd have to stop. Because when we're young, I don't know why. She exposed it, but she never exposed a lot.
And send her tune. She never get, you know. Send her tune. We're going to play it on World Music Views.
No, man, I sent some tune, man. I sent some great tune, man.
Yeah,
man. There's an album called Barbara Jones Sings Covers in Reggae or something like that. Mad thing, some Dennis Williams. You want to hear them tune there, brother?
Crazy. Send them, man. Send them.
Yeah, man. I make 10 years deal with it. But yeah, brother, you see me? You don't know.
Respect, man. I love this. I love your journey, Bridget. I love the Swedish.
Thank you.
This is why me coming out of the music industry, there's a moment, right? Between obscurity and celebrity, where right. An artist is transitioning. That is my favorite part of the industry. To see an artist move from unknown to known, like the magic that to me. Just like when they say Chronix used to be a youth where come around, and then like between him going on tour and come back, you're like, yeah, I'm like that to me, it's that can only happen once in an artist's career, you know. It can't one time, you know, one time from obscurity to celebrity. And it's always a magical thing because it happens so often. Persons don't give it its credit, but it's the moment that define an artist going forward, you know? And I really appreciate your moment right now and what you're doing, man. So big up yourself, Bridget.
Yo, big up, brother. I'm glad you're there too, brother, because at the end of the day, that is the next thing, even me stepping as an artist, you know. I'm not really the bravest right now, but I'm brave. Not towards singing and thing, but who is around me. So that's why I'm going to say, too. Glad to say you're there. If you cover them things, because right for the show, you should be. Because you say you would go on. So I'm going to say, so big up for that. Man.
It's really the top platform right now. Ask anybody.
Man. No, I've seen it. And I've seen people repost and screenshot and repost.
I want to carry foolishness. Nice. It's real, authentic culture, you know, and everything fact check and... And we have exclusive interviews like with Hector.
man. Bless up, brother. Give thanks, brother. Thanks.
So big up yourself, brother. Big up Chronix. Big up Bond. Right. Every time.
Yeah, man. Every time. Right. Yeah, Soul Circle. Up, yeah, don't know. Bless.
All right. Bless. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the songs mentioned or heard on this episode, go to YouTube or on your favorite streaming platform and search World Music Views playlist to hear more.